Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine, and I'm happy to report from South Florida that we're doing great and the sun is out. this is where I live, so it was a little sketchy for a while, but we're good. We're good. Today's guest, Mary Shores, has been recognized as a leader of innovative thought and has been described as a revolutionary thinker. Mary has spent over a decade teaching businesses and individuals how to inspire others, create new ways of thinking, identify their goals, and take action to create meaningful results. She is the innovative creator of the groundbreaking conscious communication system and has traveled nationally to lecture and teach courses that help individuals implement new ways of thinking so they can take small steps toward making more conscious and impactful decisions. Mary has been featured on local and national radio and television shows, podcasts, and blogs. Her influential book, Conscious Communications, was just released by Hay House in August 2007. This is going to be a really interesting show, one we can all relate to. So I'd really like to get started so we can have as much time with Mary as possible. So let me introduce her. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Randy. I'm so relieved to hear that the sun is out in Florida. That's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing how these things come and go. So can you tell us what conscious communications is about?
Conscious communications is a guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. And it's really a book that bridges that gap between science and spirituality. So it's the perfect blend of all of the things that we learn through our spiritual practices, but backed up by super practical science, and people are just loving that about the book.
So it's about aligning our words, thoughts, and actions so that we can produce the results we want in our lives. And your book shows us how to do that, right?
Right. You know, because when I started to go on the path that I'm currently on, I used to get really confused because I would hear these terms like alignment or the power of now or get out of your own way or just allow. And I was so confused by all of that, and it took me a lot of years to figure out what it even meant, those terms. And once I did, it really became very clear to me how to do those things, because I feel like we have a lot of thought leaders and authors telling us what we need to do, and that is why I really wanted to make a guidebook that says, and here's how you do it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people can relate to what you just said, because these are terms that we get thrown around a lot, and many people don't really understand. So thank you for finding a way or creating a way to clear that up for everybody. So you discovered that the way we choose our words or the words we choose have a great impact on our lives. How does that work? Like, can you give us an example of how that works?
Yeah, and it's a great example too of both science and spirituality. Okay, so from the spiritual standpoint, maybe about a year ago, I woke up one morning and I had this powerful thought. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but like I just think strange things sometimes, and I don't know where it comes from. But I wake up in the morning and all I could think was, I have to learn the Hebrew alphabet. It was just the weirdest thing ever. Like, I'd never had a thought before like that. I'm not Jewish. So I got on YouTube and I started searching around about the Hebrew alphabet, and I came across a video that was a rabbi that was videotaping his Hebrew class, and he was posting it on YouTube. So at 29 minutes into the video, it said, there is a word in the English language, and it's a word that we all know that the magician uses when he pulls the rabbit out of the hat, which is abracadabra. And he said that that is an ancient word that meant, it was actually two words. It meant abara, and I can't say it like he said it. He said it so beautifully, like with these rolling R's and these like H's that just sounded so cool. So he said abara means I will create, kadabra as I speak. I will create as I speak. And there are multiple references in the Bible to the spoken word in manifestation. I mean, so many I can't even remember all of them. But then science is now showing us why that is true. Because when you speak words, you are carving grooves in your subconscious mind that eventually become your neural pathways and your belief systems. And you can only create in life what you believe is possible for you. And so once you begin to understand and get control over the words you speak, it's not just about controlling affirmations. It's about even watching your involuntary speech patterns, because every word you say is creating a groove in your subconscious mind that creates your belief patterns and your belief neural networks, which then, guess what, creates your thoughts. So once your thoughts are created, your thoughts and your emotions are what drive your choices and your behaviors and your words. So it's like this cycle. But that's a great example. I'm so glad you brought it up, because it shows perfectly where science and spirituality are talking about the exact same thing. They're just using two different languages.
Okay. So if somebody keeps saying, you're making me crazy, what are they actually saying?
Okay, give me a second.
Okay, so
if they say you're making me crazy, then they're making a statement. Number one, they're complaining. And so I was just doing some research this week about how complaining wires your brain for negativity. And they're focusing on, this is really a sentence about, you know, a relationship. And so what I would say is that everything you say in a relationship, everything you do, every action you take in a relationship, or what you say about another person, is either cleansing that relationship or it's clogging. So making a statement like that, number one, it's clogging a relationship. But number two, it's negativity. And number three, the intention behind the words, which is what's really important, is what I would call something that is, you're focusing on what makes you crazy in that person instead of what you love and adore in that person.
Okay. I'm sitting here trying to think of things that I me and other people kind of throw out there, and all of a sudden I'm dry.
Well, I know.
I can't think.
No. That's fine because I have a bazillion examples. So, like,
yeah, why don't you give
here's
us
an
some.
Example.
Okay.
I was out to dinner last year or the year before on my birthday, and I was with a girlfriend of mine that I just adore, and we were at a restaurant. It was like, you know, an outdoor cafe. It's quite a beautiful restaurant. And before even looking at the menu or understanding what was going on, we were talking about ordering, and she closed the menu and she said, "Too rich for my blood." So that's a perfect example of something she said out loud, involuntarily, but let's think about what that means. Okay, so too rich for my blood. And by the way, this restaurant, it had half-price appetizers, which is what we were ordering, and you could literally order food for like between $4 and $15. So it was very reasonably priced. But her perception of herself, her pathways, her belief system is that not only is she unworthy to be at this restaurant, but her entire lineage of her ancestors is unworthy. Too rich for my blood.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. And so it's powerful. Is there something that we say that, you know, that's commonly said that really we can really relate to it impacting us so we say it and we can see it?
Well, I know for me, it's different for every single person. So there are common things that we do. I would say it's more a pattern that is the common connector between different people. So like my own example was I, for 10 years, wanted to write a book. And even more specifically, I wanted Hay House to publish the book. But I used to say all the time, I mean, probably on a daily basis, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And so here I was stating an intention, I want to write a book, but then I was canceling it because I was saying I'm not a writer. And I think that we all have that power, or that we all have that pattern that we say, I want to do A, but, and then we give the excuse of why we can't do this. Now, why is this important? Because the words, I am not a writer, are a mirror to the inside of my subconscious mind. So there was a belief system in my subconscious that deep down inside, I did not believe that I had the ability to write a book. And, you know, I don't know where it came from, and it doesn't even matter. The important part of your story is always in the moment where you rewrote it, because every single one of these neural networks can be rewritten with new ones, and that is truly where the power lies. And so within 7 months of changing that belief system, and I remember the very day it happened, I had manifested a book deal with Hay House, and now it's 2.5 years later, and I have a book in my hands.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you. That's a great accomplishment. And yes, I mean, I know how things have manifested in my life that there was really no rational way that they could have, but they did because it was in my belief system. So I totally get that. Totally get that. Words are very powerful and thoughts are very powerful. How long does it take to create a new neural pathway?
I'm not sure that anyone knows the answer to that question. What I would say is that there are times that it can be instantaneous. So, like, for example, with my example about the book, and I'm not a writer, I was able to create a new neural pathway instantly because the power behind my emotional charge at that moment was so great that it was like it tunneled through my neural pathways instantaneously. Other times it takes a practice, and I say more often than not it takes a practice. And you begin to pivot over time. Now, one of the things that I did was I bought a notebook, and in the entire year of 2016, I wrote an entire page of affirmations every single day. And in that instance, it took about 45 days before I really started to notice powerful change. But when I did notice powerful change, things began to change rapidly and my entire life changed. There's so many different ways that you can create neural pathways. You can do it through goal setting. You can do it through using affirmations. You can do it through gratitude. You can do it through meditation. So there are many, many ways to accomplish this. I talked to a hypnotherapist once, and she said that it really took about 2,500 repetitive times of doing something. So that means if you are using affirmations, that when you use that affirmation 2,500 times, then it will create a new neural pathway. I think it's also, if you want to supercharge that, it's when you back it up, and this is where alignment comes from. When you back it up with the choices that you're making in life, you will see that time increase a lot.
Very cool. That's, you know, because some people like to have like a concrete thing. How many times do I have to do this before it's going to work? Let's see. Okay, so let's talk about, so you talked about how it's kind of a alignment of the spiritual and I forget what the other word you used was. But so how does this all align with our spiritual connection?
Mary? How does the book align with our spiritual connection?
Okay, so how does conscious communication, because you said in the beginning that it is a combination of spiritual and I forget what the other thing was, emotional?
Science.
Okay. Of science, between spiritual and science. Okay, so what is the spiritual factor is what I'm asking you.
Well, the spiritual factor, again, it's going to be different for every single person, you know, and everyone's spiritual beliefs, I think, are very, very unique. But for me, how it aligns is just the part where we've learned things throughout many thousands of years from ancient sages about spirituality and spiritual practices. And what we're finding now is that those practices are leading us in the same direction of what science is able to prove. So like, for example, Paramahansa Yogananda would, in his documentary called Awake, The Life of a Yogi, he talks about how meditation is creating grooves in your brain. And this was before neural pathways was actually even discovered. And he was describing this as grooves in your brain. And he did this imagery that was like a record player, you know, the old records, and how you could see, you know, on the old records, you could see the lines and the needle
grooves,
would
yeah.
follow the line.
Right.
And
right.
so he was explaining it to us this way, and this was in the early 1900s. Okay, so now, 100 years later, we have discovered neural pathways. We have discovered neural networks. We know how they're created. We know how to change them. And that proves that everything that Paramahansa said was true. There's so many things in the Bible that reiterate this. So that's really where it pairs up with your spirituality. And just everything in the book is about not only science, but spirituality. So the first chapter talks a lot about gratitude. Gratitude is, you know, at the foundation of every single spiritual practice I've ever heard of. I don't know of any religion or any spiritual practice that does not have a foundation of gratitude. So now what science is discovering is that a daily practice of gratitude also creates new neural networks and wires you not only for positivity, but also it wires you to have a different perception of life in general, because now you are training the muscle in your brain to look for things in your environment to be grateful for.
Right, and you say in your book, so, you know, say you buy a white Honda Civic and you never really noticed them before, all of a sudden you're seeing white Honda Civics everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, right.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked a few minutes ago about how, you know, there's certain things that have manifested in your life that were unexplainable.
Yes.
This is what I believe. This is the reason I believe this happens. And I talk about a lot about it in Chapter 5 because I have this section. It's called Synchronicities, Magic, and Probabilities. And when you can get all of these different areas of your life in alignment, by using the practices in this book, what you're going to find is that your synchronicities and your magic go through the roof, and that changes all of your probabilities, because really we have all of these infinite possibilities available to us. And what I have, just like what my superpower is taking something from a possibility to a probability. Because a possibility means that it could happen, and a probability means it is more likely to happen. And so, you know, what happens is when you start to use gratitude, when you start to create new neural networks in your mind, you are now more aware of the opportunities that are all around you. So I say in the book, you know, I'm not sure if you are creating this or if it was always there, but you weren't able to see it, just like the white Honda. The white Hondas were always there.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, when you're hurting, and every you know, when somebody's dumped you from a relationship or something, and all you hear when you turn on music is that sad love songs. So yeah, it happens a lot. Yes, synchronicities. You know, I think that synchronicities are really the roadway, the path of our life, and that we should pay attention to every single one of them, because it really directs us to, it's really the shortest route to our goals. That's what I believe. So, yeah, those signs and symbols, listeners, don't dismiss them, because they mean something to you. They're very important in your life. So, most of us carry these conversations in our heads, these old messages that play and play and play and play, that really are not relevant to today. There are just things that have been put in there, and we play them over and over, and we believe that this is what our thoughts are and are supposed to be. So how do we interrupt that cycle?
Well, we need to recreate a new story, because I love what you've just said, and chapter 2 in the book is really going to talk about the stories that we have in our life. So we've all lived through something, and, you know, we're here to learn. We're here to learn lessons, and sometimes they're lessons that help us here on the earth. Other times they might be more divine spiritual lessons that are meant to carry over lifetimes. The thing is that our stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves really become our identity. So, you know, going back to my friend who said, "Too rich for my blood," that is a story she's telling herself that has now become her identity, because it's very clear that she has a poverty consciousness. Now, the thing that's very powerful in the book is it teaches you, you know, why we create these stories, because we use them as a way of connecting with other people, and that's a very important part of our story. Story sharing throughout history has been a very important pastime and ritual. But we have to learn how to do it, and I put a 3-step process in the book that teaches you how to loosen the grip on the traumatic parts of the story, or loosen the grip on constantly creating the story, because every time you tell that story, you're actually reliving it in your mind. Now, do you have any men that you know that go fishing, or and they tell that like fishing story of when they got the big fish?
Not personally, no. No.
Or seen it on a movie, or maybe it's the big home run.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Play.
Yes. Right.
So
right, I'm aware.
What, have you ever noticed that every time they tell the story gets bigger?
Yes. Yes.
So this story is getting bigger because in our minds, in our subconscious mind, every time they tell the story, they're strengthening the pathway to the event that happened in the first place. So whether you tell the stories of the empowering moments in your life or the tragic moments in your life, just know that every time you tell that story, you are reinforcing the pathway in your brain that created the story in the first place. And so the reason why those stories get bigger and bigger over time is because they are strengthening that neural pathway every single time they tell the story. And the reason why people's tragedy stories get more in depth and more, you know, more tragic every time they tell it, is the same thing. So stories reinforce what's already in your subconscious mind. And I'm just here to tell you, folks, tell the empowering stories. Tell the story of when you made the cheerleading team. Tell the story of when you got married or had your baby, or, you know, and then loosen your grip on some of the more tragic stories.
That makes a lot of sense to me. It really does. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the power of negativity and the power of positivity, positivity and gratitude, negativity and being ungrateful. Negativity can really manifest itself very, very quickly, and as can positivity. But I don't think that those who are negative really understand just how powerful the statements they make are. This will never happen. Yeah, right, you know, in your wildest dreams, or, you know, don't hold your breath, or all these kind of things. They seem to manifest, and I saw this happen in a very crazy way. I'll just tell briefly. My mother, let's just say, is crazy. But anyway, when my daughter was 3 years old, my mother was always so worried about her. And I remember my daughter standing in front of an oven door. The oven was only about a year old. The house was only about a year old. And she said to me, "Don't let her stand there. That oven door is going to fall on her." And I looked at her like she was out of her mind. I said, "That cannot happen. Why are you saying that? I'm telling you it's going to fall. Do you know that door opened up and fell on my daughter?" I mean, I could not explain this, but the power of that statement was so strong that it happened immediately. And that's what scared me about negativity. That's when I decided, you know what? We can't say these things because they do happen. What are your thoughts, Mary?
I have a ton of thoughts on this. So first of all, right away, right now in our country, we have this positive psychology movement. And I have to tell you, I'm not a big fan of it. And I know in your mind you're thinking, what? But let me explain. So positivity, this positivity movement we have, makes us terrified of every negative emotion that we have, because we're so afraid that if we have negative thoughts, we're going to manifest them. I mean, I can't say what happened with your daughter and the door, but here's what I can tell you, is that we have a range of emotions called a frequency scale as human beings, and we are meant to experience all these emotions. And we as humans are the ones who label them as good or bad, but spirit labels them as experience. And so what we need to learn how to do is learn how to process our negative emotions in a healthy way. Because in a lot of the positive psychology movement, we're taught to believe that everything that happens to us is our fault because we weren't positive enough. Well, let me tell you what. Sometimes people get in an accident and it's not because they weren't positive enough, or they, you know, have a tragedy that happens. It's not their fault because they weren't positive enough. But when you learn how to process your dark emotions, you will become even more powerful, even more powerful. And it is really in the power of when you move on from something that is much more powerful. So as an example, in the book, I give a 5-step process. It's called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, and Here's How. And it really outlines what you need to do when you're experiencing negativity. Because if we label someone as negative, you know, we're really not being very compassionate or empathetic with whatever they're going through. But if somebody can make a list of all of the problems in their life, that list in and of itself will be rewarded with a lot of dopamine and serotonin in the brain. And they, just by making a list, and this was backed up by a study done at UCLA that showed, just by making a list and naming your problems, you actually create serotonin and dopamine, which means you will instantly feel better. But when we ignore our problems, or when we ignore something, because when something feels negative to you, that is something trying to get your attention. to have you do something about it. But when we ignore it, what happens is we begin to procrastinate. So all of a sudden, we're spending all day on YouTube. We're wasting time. We're not getting anything done. But we're ignoring our problems in hopes that they're going to go away. And so I really, you know, one of the things that connects me very well with the readers of my book is that I want to say to people, it's okay when you have dark emotions, and here's what you do with them.
Okay, good, good. I mean, that's very, very valuable to, I think, all of us, right? I think we can all relate to that. Because if we haven't become conscious of the way we speak and think, then, you know, and we all have aspects of ourselves that could use some adjustment, you know. None of us.
Well, and the name of your show is Time to Heal.
Right, exactly.
So we need to, you know, we need to know how to heal.
Right. I agree with you about the positivity movement. I do think it places a lot of stress and self-blame and guilt on people because they think they're supposed to be able to manifest everything, and if they don't and if things go wrong, you know. Yes, so I agree with you that there's this spiritual factor or there's this life factor that certain things are meant to happen and we're supposed to learn from them. They're not going to necessarily be these positive experiences that we hope for, but ultimately we gain from them. So,
you know,
yeah.
It's making me think of, and this is so important, because do you follow Abraham?
No. I mean, I've read some of his quotes, but I'm not a follower, no.
Okay. So Abraham talks about this vibrational escrow that we have. And if your listeners are unfamiliar with the terms, I'll just explain that a vibrational escrow, according to the teachings of Abraham, is that everything you think is created in this escrow, and it's waiting for you to manifest. And from what I understand, and my friends actually call me the Rosetta Stone of manifestation, and they call my book the Rosetta Stone of manifestation because I can manifest that powerfully. And the reason why is because I have figured out a way of connecting my behaviors with the things in my escrow that I actually want to have happen, because we really are creating, you know, through our thoughts and through our actions and through our words, we're creating our life in every thin sliced moment of every choice that we ever make. My favorite movie is A Bronx Tale, because the quote in that movie changed my life. And the quote is, "The choices you make will shape your life forever." And so the way that you create in your life the things you want is by creating choices that are always in alignment with that thing that you want. So if I want to have a book and I tell myself that I'm not a writer, those words are not in alignment with having a book. But if I tell myself I want to write a book and then I start attending writers' workshops, which is exactly what I did, now my actions, my choices are connecting to my ultimate goal. So what I have figured out is that you always want to think in the end result. You always want to be deciding what you want to manifest in your life. And then when you're looking at your day-to-day choices in your moment-to-moment life, you want to make choices that connect you to, because everything is either connecting you to what you want or disconnecting you from what you want. Everything is.
Fascinating. So fascinating. excuse me. So it's great to know that that we can change the way we think. And it's, I guess, for the average person, that's not something that comes 1, 2, 3, just naturally. But it is something that we can be conscious of and start ourselves on that direction and catch ourselves when we are not being, when we are not doing things and saying things to manifest. So what would you say to those who are saying, oh my gosh, I don't know how to begin this?
Well, I would say that, number one, there's so many ways to begin. And I know for me, because getting your thoughts, your words, your actions, all of that, and your emotions in alignment, for me, the most difficult part was my thoughts, because a lot of times it felt like my thoughts were thinking me and I didn't know where they were coming from. And I tell a lot of stories in the book about this. So my entry point was words, because words was something I can control. And I also, like, the simplest thing that I know of is in chapter 5 of my book, it's called Cleanser Clog. And so this stuff does not have to be hard. As a matter of fact, it needs to be simple. Because if it's not simple, I got to tell you people, I can't do it. I have to have simplicity in my life, because if it's not simple to me, it breeds a lot of chaos. And I need to live in a simple, peaceful way. So Cleanser Clog just really means, you know, as we talked about all these things that we want in life, and then I talked about how every choice you make is either creating a connection or driving a disconnection from what you want. Cleanser Clog is the simplest way for anybody. Anybody can do this. It goes like this. And I'll use being on a diet as an example. So if my goal or my end result is that I want to lose 20 pounds, but I'm eating, say, a Snickers bar every afternoon with a Red Bull or whatever, then most likely I'm not going to lose this 20 pounds. But all I have to do to change that, this is so simple, every time I look at a piece of food, I just have to ask myself, is this going to cleanse me or is this going to clog me? And once I know the answer, so obviously like an apple would be a cleansing item and a Snickers bar would be a clog. So as long as 80% of the time I am choosing those cleansing choices, then my weight will stay in check and my fitness can stay in check. But this cleanser clog principle is true in every area of your life. It's true in your relationships because, like I said before, everything you say or do in a relationship is either cleansing that relationship or clogging it. Every choice you make in your finances is either cleansing or clogging. Every choice you make in your career, every choice you make in your spiritual practice, every personal development choice you make, self-care. I mean, it goes on and on and on in every area of your life. And so here's the thing, people. In order to make a dramatic change in a quick way, if you take a practice of cleanser clog, within about a month, you're going to see major changes in your life.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that. I like when you can have such a broad just such a simple way to handle so many aspects of your life. I use something very similar in my counseling practice, which I'm not going to go into, but you know, when people say, well, how do I do this, and when do I do this, and what if this, and I use a very similar kind of thing to guide them to, you go to this if this happens, and you go to this if this happens. What is the power of the thought versus the spoken word? Which is more powerful, or are they equal?
Well, I don't know if anyone has a way of knowing that.
Okay.
Because who's to say? I mean, because I don't know which one's more powerful. I think it's the intention that's the most powerful. So it's the intention behind the words, and it's the intention behind the thought, and the more emotional intensity you have behind either one is going to determine how powerful they are. So we all know the difference between someone who says, yeah, I want to quit smoking. You know, I've been smoking for years. You know, I want to quit smoking. Versus, I will never smoke a cigarette again. I will never put a cigarette in my mouth again. It is never happening. I am done. It is a must. Now, so there's a huge difference between the two emotional intensities behind that statement. So the more intention that you put behind whatever it is you're thinking or saying, the more powerful it will become.
Okay, excellent answer. Excellent answer. And I know I caught you off guard with that one, but that's a really good answer, and I do have to agree with that. So intention is really the important thing. And when we say our affirmations, we want to say them with intention as well, rather than just saying them. So we are talking to Mary Shores, who is the author of Conscious Communications. And Mary,
I know that you conduct workshops and things. How do we connect with you?
The best way right now is through social media. You can find me at the handle Mary Shores on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and it's Mary, M-A-R-Y, Shores, S-H-O-R-E-S, just like the seashores. And we're on Pinterest, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook and Twitter. And right now, I just have this amazing deal going on that is for anyone who wants to play this game that we're calling the I Spy Mary Shores game. And so it's a fun way, and here's all you have to do. If you buy the book, you post a selfie on any of your social media with a quote from the book, and the hashtag #IspyMaryShores. And if you do that, you just let us know, send it to us in any way. You can email it through our website or however you want to do that. And I will send you the free companion course that goes along with the book. So having the book is great, but having this companion course free to go along with the book will allow you to put all your experiences down on paper.
Okay. That's awesome. We're coming down to the end of the show, Mary. This has been really, really exciting, really wonderful. And I know that you are helping so many people through through your book and your workshops. So thank you for that. Thank you for putting this together and putting that out there to help us create a more positive life for ourselves and a more positive world. Maybe not positive, but manifest, let's say, manifest good things. So, yes, I do want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Randy. It's my pleasure. You have a wonderful show, and I've enjoyed the episodes I've listened to so far.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad that you have listened, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I enjoyed the interview very much. So I wish you well. I would assume that your book is on Amazon and also through your website, correct?
It's on Amazon. It's in stores all over Barnes & Noble, so it's on the bookshelves. If you do go to Barnes & Noble, I suggest going to their website first and putting in the zip code, because in bigger cities, I'm finding that it's in about half of the stores. So, yeah, it's well-stocked at Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. It's on hayhouse.com. It's at my website. If you want a signed copy, you can reach me for that, because we are selling signed copies. And actually, I'll be speaking at the next big Hay House event down in Orlando, October 21st and 22nd. So if
Perfect.
Anybody wants to, yeah, it's very exciting. If you want to learn how to become a writer too, please get a hold of me, mary@maryshores.com, and I will direct you to how you can also publish with Hay House.
Perfect. Perfect. That's a dream come true. As an author, I know that that is a dream come true. I've never published with them, but that is. Okay, so I have to say goodbye or we'll run out of time. But thank you so much again, and I wish you just lots of success with what you do.
You as well, Randy. Thank you.
Thank you. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. RANDIGFINE.com. So I want to thank you for listening, and join me next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com, or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.